In Galatians chapter 5, we left off last time here at verse number 11 and 12, and just mentioning here about this offense of the cross, and I just want to reiterate about that. You know, what is the offense of the cross? I left you with that question last time. The verse says here in verse 11, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision," if he's saying, if I preach a works salvation, a keeping of the law salvation, of what the sinner can do salvation to make atonement for their sin. If I preach that, if I preach circumcision, then why do I yet suffer persecution? I mean, that's what the Judaizers, those that have not seen Christ, have not been saved by the Lord, that are still following after the ways of Israel, the way of the law, they still believe that by keeping that they can please God unto salvation. And he said, and then you that are here, you are taking up this addition of works and adding it to Jesus Christ. Why am I getting it on the chin? Why am I taking it on the chin? Why am I being abused? Why am I being criticized for the ministry that I have? And so, well, if we take up a work salvation or an addition of works to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the offense of the cross has ceased, because it takes Jesus and Him alone and everything that He is and everything that He's done to save the sinner. And the thing is, in that which the Lord did accomplish on the cross of Calvary, and giving Himself, offering Himself as a sacrifice, giving of Himself totally, He gave His body, right? The Scripture in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, says He offered His soul. He shed His blood. Did He not sacrifice His dignity? Was it not a shame for Him to hang on that cross naked? What was it not a shame for Him to be abused by His creation? So, He gave it all on the cross of Calvary. He gave it all that day that He gave Himself. He gave everything that He had. And it's offensive to man to consider that that's what's needed to save the sinner's soul, because that's how bad our sin is. Amen. If you're here and you're breathing, your sin is against God Almighty. Your disobedience is against God Almighty. Brother Jim, I'm just a young person. I'm not even in my teens yet, or I'm just a teenager, and I've been blessed. I haven't got into any kind of quote unquote serious meanness. Listen, your sin is going to send you to hell. It's taking you to it's killing you. It's going to bring nothing but death, and it's taking you straight to hell. And it took, if you will, it took the terribleness of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, an innocent man, not only an innocent man, but God, the Son, who had done no sin, who had created us all, who condescended to become a man. It took that. And nothing else would do. It took that for your soul to be saved, to be able to be saved. Nothing else would do. See, our thinking would say, if I give a sinner, if a sinner would be sacrificed for this sinner, then that would make it okay. It wouldn't work, would it? Because all of my blood cannot touch one of my sins, yet go beyond that. And so the same thing is yet for you. Yours can't do anything for you, nor can it extend to anybody else. It won't work for a man taken from amongst men and men only, amongst mankind to be given for another. Why? Because the sacrifice is sinful. It can't make anything right. It's given a dirty rag for a dirty rag. It won't be meat. It won't suffice the Father. But considering about the terribleness, and of course the sacrifice of the Lord on Calvary is precious to us. We love Him because of it, don't we? We're thankful for it. We praise His name that He did so for us individually. You know, I'm talking about, you know, you inside of you, when you consider the Lord and what He did for you being saved, you praise His name for it. Amen? Amen. You're thankful for it because He did that for you.
Amen.
And I rejoice in your salvation, but I can't rejoice in your salvation as much as I can rejoice in my salvation, right? Because I'm here on the inside, if you will. And that's the offense of the cross, is that my sin is so bad that another sinner wouldn't do, or myself, I couldn't do it. But my sin and my condition was so bad that it took one perfect to do it for me. That's how bad off we are. But we've been made children, sons, joint heirs with Christ. Oh, don't you love Him? Don't you love Him for what He's done? And then the sacrifice of Himself was given. And His sacrifice of Himself was good enough to save many. To save many. Because He's perfect. He's perfect. And He says, oh, this offense of the cross. You know, the religious world pursues man's way. I mean, there's two ways of salvation, right? God's way and the other way, right? Isn't that the way that it is? God's way and the other way. In the religious world, the depravity of man, the philosophy of man, the way of Satan, what he purports, what he tells in the world and tells to mankind, and the lies that he promotes, is the religious world, the way of mankind, the way of Satan, all promotes a salvation that's based on self. It's based on what man can do. And to be told that that won't work is an offense to us naturally. There needs to be an offense in the cross. There needs to be. Not that Jesus is not to be esteemed. He's great. There's no greater than He. No, there's none more wonderful than He. There's none more loving than He. Merciful than He. Gracious than He. No, there's none more magnificent than He. Greater love hath no man, it says in the book of John, than He laid down His life for His friends. That's an offense to mankind. But there needs to be an offense. That's how bad you that are here and you're not saved. You don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have the faith to know that Jesus died for you that day. You have not repented before God and admitted to Him on His terms and His way that you are a wicked sinner, you are deserving of hell and the lake of fire forever. Jesus and His cross is an offense to you. That's what you need, though. You need Him.
Amen.
You need Him. You know, you don't need just what He did on Calvary. You need Him and everything about Him. Everything about Him. So, if I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision or works salvation, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased, and it does not need to cease. He goes on, and we mentioned some about this. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. I want to take a look at this, and boy, those are some serious words. And I've mentioned to you here about, I've made reference to those, the churches in Galatia, which this epistle is written to, there in Asia Minor. I've brought some reference also to the churches of Achaia, and that's incorrect because Achaia is down there in mainland Greece, which is across the Aegean Sea to the west from Asia Minor. So forgive me for doing that. I had it in my mind that the region of Achaia is there in Asia Minor, and it's not. But these are the churches there in the regions of Galatia. They're in Asia Minor. And here, let's take a look at these sharp words here to the church at Philippi. Where's the church at Philippi at? Well, it's up there in Macedonia. It's up there in the northern region. It's that region that where the apostle Paul sought to go to Achaia, but the Lord, I've got that wrong. I need to look that up. He sought to go, it seems to me, east into Asia Minor, to the north, but the Spirit of God prevented him and the troop that was with him, and then he had the vision of the man in Macedonia says, come over and help us. And so he went. And Philippi is part of that work that's done there, and the preaching that is the Lord bids him to do there, and the Philippian jailer there is saved, right? And Lydia is saved, and so we can read about that in the book of Acts. But here, I'll read this to you. In Galatians 5, he says, verse number 12 of chapter, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. He uses those words, cutting off, he's not making fun of them, but he's telling the truth about what he wants about the situation. He's saying, you're claiming circumcision. You're adding to these Gentiles that they need to be circumcised for their salvation to be whole. You're still preaching that to the Jews, maybe, those that are Jews there in those churches in Galatia, that they need to be circumcised for the salvation, the gospel of the Lord to be effectual. And that he says, I wish those that were preaching that doctrine to you, I wish that they were cut off. I wish they were cut off. And look here what he addresses the church at Philippi in chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, look what he says here about works and they relative to salvation. Anything that a sinner would do, religious or otherwise, any claim that they would make to the Lord as being justification for the Lord to save them. Listen to what the apostle says here. The sharp words again about this very same thing. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. And so he says, yeah, I'm repeating myself. Okay, I'm repeating myself, but it's good. Because the Scripture says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Because when you're dealing with a group of people, we just know, we understand that it's this way. We just aren't on the same growth track. It's just that way. It doesn't mean that that's bad. Only you and the Lord know if it's good or bad, okay? Only you and the Lord know if you're where the Lord wants you to be. And I know we can always do better. All of us certainly can do better, and our faithfulness and our zeal to pursue the Lord and that. And that's a personal thing. I mean, make sure you're making progress. Don't be stagnant and don't be going backwards. Because if you're stagnant, you probably are going backwards. If I'm stagnant, I'm going backwards. And we need to be growing. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Add and refresh and refresh and edify and edify and being built up in the most holy faith. And so he says here, it's not a problem for me to write to you again, but for you this is safe. He says, beware of dogs. Now, that's an interesting thing. A Gentile church up there in Philippi, up there in Macedonia. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. And that word concision is talking about a cutting off. Concision, circumcision, he says over there in the book of Galatians where we read, I wish they that trouble you were cut off from you. He cares for the church. He loves the church. He doesn't want any false doctrine to be propagated in the church. He doesn't want anything them to be led to another gospel. And he is And he is spiritual. The apostle is spiritual, and he's in pleading them. He's given many examples of the churches there in Galatia to return to that first love, the Lord Jesus Christ, and him alone and his power to save. He says to this church in Philippi, beware of these dogs. The indication here and the word that is used here is going to be found related to something down here in verse number 8. This reference here, if we understand it correctly, are the dogs that are around the trash heap. How many of you have ever had a dog get in your trash can? Isn't that a mess? Oh, that's a mess. We don't know if it was a dog or not, but here not too long ago, and it was just, oh my, what a mess. They throw it everywhere, don't they? They do. He says, beware of these dogs that hang around the trash heap. What's that talking about? Now, the Greek word there for dogs is going to be associated here later on. Beware of evil workers, he says. He goes on and explains some more about them. Beware of the cutting off, the concision, okay? For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoiced in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. It says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Right? But wait a minute. The Scripture tells men of God to be lovers of good men. What's he talking about? Talking about salvation. Talking about salvation. There's no confidence. Our flesh won't do a thing for us in salvation. Our flesh hinders us. Amen. The old man hinders us. But when the Spirit of God shows up, the old man's put down, isn't he? He's not stronger than the strong man in the house. Amen? Right. And so he says here, we don't have confidence in the flesh regarding salvation. Now, well, we shouldn't have confidence in the flesh in service, but it is in this body that we do serve. You had to purpose and say, well, I'll be there with you in spirit. Well, there are references in the Scripture about being there in spirit. It's talking about thinking of them, but we don't levitate ourselves over there, do we? Ooh. Boy, it'd be tough to preach to a bunch of spirits. So we talk about thinking there, but you had to purpose to bring your bod here, to get here, because all the rest of you is connected. Amen? You couldn't come and worship without bringing your body here, right? Because that's the house. That's the tabernacle that you have. And he says, we don't have any confidence in the flesh. We do serve in the flesh. But he's not talking about service. Though I might have, verse number 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Here, I'll tell you about trusting in the flesh. I'll tell you, you top this. His spirit is right. We know that because it's the Word of God and the Spirit of God moving through him and in him to write these things. But he says, listen to this, top this. Circumcised the 8th day, or verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I've got more, okay? Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. When you talk to the Hebrews, they said, Paul's really, really a good Hebrew. Mm-hmm. When you got to the top drawer guys amongst the Hebrews and the Jews, they said, Paul's really, really a good one. He's one of the best ones we've got. Okay? He was diligent. He had zeal. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. That told the sect that he was of and what the doctrine that they held to. Concerning zeal, I was so zealous, I sought to persecute the church and put her down because I saw her as being contrary to the Word of God, contrary to that which we had received from Abraham, from Moses, and from God. So that's concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. He gives testimony in the Scriptures that it was the 10th commandment that bugged him on the inside. Because with the other 9, Nobody could accuse him in any way. With the other parts of the law and the sacrificing and all those things that would be done, nobody could lay anything at Paul's feet. No one could lay anything at Saul's feet where he was disobedient in the law given by Moses. He was top drawer. Top drawer Pharisee. Listen to what he says. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. If it made me look good, and if it was something that I did that I brought to the Lord as being justification for being accepted of God, it was a loss for Christ, because salvation doesn't come that way. Salvation comes through Christ and what He does. What availeth? A circumcision doesn't avail anything, does it? Uncircumcision doesn't avail anything, does it? What avails something? What did the Scripture say over there in Galatians? A new creature. A new creature. Can I make me a new creature? Did you make you a new creature? No. No. Because we don't have that. But the things that were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, I count all things but loss. He says everything about this life and my being, I count them all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's my Lord. He saved me. What's he say there? Christ Jesus. He gets all the Lord's names that we see in the Gospels and that we see telling about the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was his earthly name. Christ is Savior. And Lord, he's King. He's our all in all, isn't he? He says, all those things that I claimed before the Lord visited me and got a hold of me and showed me the truth, all those things took away from Christ. But you know what's everything? Everything is Him. Him. The Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Christ. Jesus. Jesus is preeminent. He's the one that we need. He's the one that we love. He is the one that saves. He says, and all that stuff that was me is out there on the dung heap, out there on the trash heap, out there, remember what it said up there in what, verse 2? It said, out there where all those dogs are out there milling around the trash heap. Beware of dogs that want to take you to works for salvation. That is trash. It's not Christ. It takes away from Christ. It's stinky. It's smelly. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. He says, Christ is all in all. What's he say in verse 9? And be found in Him. Oh, I want the Lord, and I have the Lord. All those things are as garbage out there at the trash heap where the dogs are roaming around. But where are those dogs that are out there roaming around at that trash heap? He says, all these things that men esteem as great things and religious things and wonderful things and things that no doubt God would receive you for. He says, it's garbage, it's trash. But Christ is where it's at. I want to be win Christ. I want to be found in Him, verse 9. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, he's not wondering if he will or not. But he is walking the narrow road with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that the Lord has promised these things. And he says, in my body, I'm living for the Lord, and I'm trusting in Him, and have been saved by Him, and everything that I could do, everything that I could bring, everything that I could claim, it's all but garbage. I need Christ. He has me, and I'm walking that narrow way with Him, and He's going to bring the things that He's promised to pass. I don't want anything else but Him. Do you? No. Don't want anything else but the Lord. And then the Lord, as He's talking to these there at Philippi, He's talking, what's the context? It's the church. It's in the church. He's put us in the church. Back in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, He says, "Oh, don't go anywhere where the offense of the cross has ceased. It's no good. I wish they were even cut off. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Because," or for, verse 13, "brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." That's how the chapter started out, wasn't it? "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." That's what we're called to do, is stand as the children of God. To stand, in the book of Ephesians, we're to stand equipped with the armor of the Lord. We're to stand in the truth of God's Word. We're to stand in the blessing of what the Lord has done for us. And He says here, He says, "We've been called to liberty." And He says, you're claiming this liberty, you're claiming this freedom and these things, these other gospels that you've drawn up, which are not a gospel, these works that you've done. He says, "Brethren, we've been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." See, but because saying that circumcision is necessary for one to be saved is given occasion to the flesh. The flesh can do something in salvation. Can the flesh do anything in salvation? No. No, the flesh has nothing that is holy, nothing that is righteous. Don't give occasion. Don't give credence to the flesh. As He said over there in Philippians, He says we don't trust in the flesh. But here He says, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Don't go that way with it, but by love serve one another. Love. Love. You know what this word, the Greek word for love here is? And this study and other considerations that I've had recently, the Lord's brought it up about this thing of love. We mentioned it in some other services that we've had about love. What is love? What is love defined by the Lord? You know what this Greek word here for love is? It's the same word charity over there in 1 Corinthians 13. It's the same word. And what it is, brothers and sisters, it's talking about that we need to be about exhibiting the love of God, the love of God. As I understand it there in 1 Corinthians 15, the love with legs on it. Not just talk. For love that'll cause us to do. Because isn't that what the love of the Lord did for us in particular? His love for me caused Him to do for me. It wasn't just a thing that says, "Well, I love Jim Duke." But He purposed and He says, "I love Jim Duke, and I'm going to do some things for him." And then as He did things for me, He says, "I'm loving Jim Duke." He's not bragging on himself. He's just telling the truth. So I'm loving Jim Duke. I'm loving Jim Duke by loving him before he's even born. I'm loving Jim Duke by purposing to send my son to be a savior for him. I'm loving Jim Duke because my son is willing to go. I'm loving Jim Duke because my son has now, in time, become a man. I'm loving Jim Duke because my son is living a perfect life. I'm loving Jim Duke because my son has gone to Calvary and given his life and his soul and shed his blood as a ransom for Jim Duke. I'm loving Jim Duke as I turn my back on my son. I'm loving Jim Duke as my son suffers there alone. I'm loving Jim Duke because my son is lying in the grave for 3 days and three nights. I'm loving Jim Duke because my son has taken his life back again and risen from the dead. See? Love with legs on it. That's the love that we need to have and we need to exhibit. What is it that Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples there in the Gospels? He says, the love that you have one for another will be that by which the world will know that you're my disciples. You go down there for them? Someone or your friend or your family might say. Say, yeah, I'll go all that way for them. Didn't the Lord go all the way for me? Yeah. We should well one for another. He says, don't use the liberty to give occasion to the flesh in doctrine or in practice. Right here is where we're seeing the transition from, again, as we've seen in Ephesians, we're seeing it here in Galatians, we're making the transition. You take a look at it, you read ahead. If you will, we're seeing that transition that's going from church issues or whole church issues. Now we're coming down to individual sanctification issues. I'm to love you the way Christ loved me. We're to love one another the way Christ loved us. May the Lord help us in it. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no better than He. Oh, just repent of your sins and trust in Him. Believe in Him. If there's anything that you desire, if you're afraid, if you're confused, if you want to understand, don't understand, you take those things to the Lord. You ask Him for what you desire. We pray for you. We love you. We desire that the Lord save you and that He'll save you and give you assurance of it. We can't save you. The church can't save you. It's only the Lord. We point you to Him.